He was born in Guelph, Ontario, in 1872, was a gifted student, and became a doctor. He trained with one of the most important early physicians in Canada, a doctor by the name of Dr. Osler. John McCrae eventually went to Montreal, where he practiced medicine at the Montreal General Hospital, and he also was a professor of pathology at McGill University. As part of his work, he would go weekly by train to Burlington, Vermont, about 2 hours from Montreal, and he would teach pathology there. When he was 41 years of age in the year 1914, he'd been working very hard, and so he thought, I'm going to go on a holiday. And so he decided to board a ship for England. And it was while he was on this ship that Britain declared war against the, Austrian Empire and Germany on the 4th of August of that year. When his ship landed in England, he enlisted right away, was sent back to Quebec where he trained, and then he was deployed to Europe. And at that time, Dr. McCrae, who was now a lieutenant colonel in the army, was sent to Belgium, where he experienced the Second Battle of Ypres, which was from April of 1915 through to May 25th of that same year. At the Second Battle of Ypres was the first time that mustard gas was ever used in war. He was affected by this, and he already had asthma, so this exacerbated his ability to breathe. On the 2nd of May of 1915, Dr. McCrae witnessed the death of a friend of his, a lieutenant by the name of Alexis Hannum Helmer, who was 22 years old. He had graduated from McGill, and although the two of them had not known one another in Montreal, they had become very good friends in the last month as they had been in Belgium. Lieutenant Helmer was killed when a missile or a bomb landed at his feet. And Dr. McCrae, because he was an officer, had to preside at his burial ceremony. This was on the 2nd of May in the year 1915. The next day, the 3rd of May of that same year, Dr. McCrae took pen to paper and he wrote in Flanders Field. There are different accounts of exactly how and where McCrae wrote these 15 lines. Was it on an ambulance step inside the dressing station? We're not sure, but what we do know is how this poem has had such a lasting influence and impact down through the last century. As you'll see on the screen here, this is part of the cemetery at Flanders. It's believed that 600,000 people died in Belgium during the First World War. 550,000 fell in West Flanders. At least 300,000 people are buried in this cemetery. 200,000 were missing. More than 1.5 million people were injured in Belgium alone. As we gather on this Remembrance Day, I want to highlight the last part of Dr. McCrae's poem. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with we who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. In these few lines, Dr. McCrae called upon the living to join the war effort so that Helmer and millions of other soldiers in the First World War would not have died in vain. But how can we today continue to hold the torch high as we recall not only the horror of World War I, but of all wars that have caused such unimaginable hardship, be it spiritual, psychological, or physical trauma. Well, for one, it's very important that we are here today, that we continue to mark the 11th of November as Remembrance Day. For while it is true that many Canadians lost their lives in many wars, it is also something I'm grateful for that on this land in Canada, that we have not been subject to war on our own territory. I think the last time it happened was the War of 1812. That's something to consider when you think about Europe and how frequently Europe has been a terrible battleground and killing field. And of course, we're also called, as we do each year, to honor those people who have and continue to serve in the Canadian military. And today we offer special prayers for them, for peace in our land, and an end to war in places like Ukraine. But we are also a people of the Word of God, and we have to always allow for our remembrance to be informed by the Holy Scripture. It struck me that in reading the Beatitudes, which we heard this morning, that they are progressive. And it moves from an interior attitude of the person who is poor in spirit, the person who is able to mourn for the reality of sin, the person who is meek, the person who seeks God, hungers after God, the person who is merciful, and then it climaxes with, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons and daughters of God." Indeed, we know that Jesus came into this world of such war, of such turmoil, to offer us his peace. And indeed, he says in his resurrection, if you remember in John 20, twice, his first words to the apostles as he appears to them is, "Peace be with you." At every Mass, when we exchange the peace one with another, we are affirming that we, in a world that is so often characterized by conflict and war and dissension, are called to be a people of peace in our homes and in our church, in our community, and seeking to establish that peace wherever we find ourselves. And of course, that has to begin in our heart. I know that we have gone through some very difficult years here in Canada. And one of the things that people share with me is how much time they spend on social media and how it so often distresses them. Understandably, if you're continually feeding yourself with bad news after bad news after bad news, it's going to lead to an interior place of unease or even dis-ease. St. Paul was in prison and writing to a church in Philippi. Philippi was a center of the Roman Empire. Philippi would have been a center of a way in which the influence of the world and all of what the world is about would have been very much on display. But how remarkable it is that St. Paul says, don't look at what's happening in Philippi primarily as that which is going to orientate you. Look to Jesus and his ways. And twice in today's reading from Philippians, Paul speaks about the peace of God. Listen to how he puts it. "Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will be with you." If anyone could have worried, it would have been St. Paul. And yet, he's talking to us from his own experience as he brings everything to Jesus in prayer. As he entrusts everything to the Lord, he says, "I know the peace of God in my heart." And then he goes on to say here in chapter 4, as he said in chapter 2, that we are to cultivate the mind of Christ. And how do we do that? Well, listen to what he says. "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, Whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and the peace of God will be with you. But this is something we have to cultivate. We have to not only cultivate an attitude of peace, but a way that our persona embodies and exhibits peace in how we are living. May we on this day allow for the scriptures to inform our lives. May we on this day be inspired by the example of Dr. John McCrae, who was going to England for a holiday and it changed his life forever. Indeed, he was killed in battle in January of 1918, and he is buried in France. And may we, in hearing this poem, written 106 years ago, not just think of it as a quaint poetic expression from the past, but something that can speak to us today as well. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. We will remember them.